The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us on this, the Frank Sontag Show. We are here on this Tuesday afternoon, live in studio, day after Memorial Day. Again, for all of those that have served our country and helped preserve our freedoms, even those that have given the ultimate sacrifice, thank you. We will not forget you. We are grateful for you, and welcome to this post-Memorial Day broadcast. We begin with our impact segment. 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. If you were with us Friday, I made mention of an exchange, an interview, with two people I would hope that you know of, Dennis Prager, who's a national talk show host, and Rob McCoy, who's the senior pastor of Godspeak Church in Ventura County. 58 minutes, you can find it online. I posted it on my Facebook page and didn't get much of a response, and I thought that was rather odd. I have 5,000 followers, which is the max. And if I have a chance to take a quick look here, I haven't checked in a while. I had 8 people like it. Usually it's at least 100. So I thought, very interesting. Over the weekend, I did a spontaneous Facebook Live, all of 8 minutes. I usually get at least 1,000 views. As of this broadcast, I have 137. I had a handful of people that I reached out to, and they say, I can't find your video anywhere. Am I being shadow banned? I guess I should be excited about that, but we do know that censorship is alive and well, especially as it relates to Facebook. So going back to that interview with Dennis Prager and Rob McCoy, I want to share some very important information with you, especially if you profess to be a follower of Christ. I sat down over the weekend and literally went through all 58 minutes, and I have a handful of audio I want to play for you. If you have comments, if you have a response, phone lines are always open to you at 888-528-2557. As a matter of fact, earlier today, before we get into the audio, it was kind of ironic. I reached out to a pastor who will go unnamed. He's got a large church in an area I don't need to say. And we have a men's event, a KMG event coming up the end of June, June 26th, at Rob McCoy's church, Godspeak in Newbury Park. And this pastor I reached out to, I know quite well. I've got a cell. He's been on the program a number of times. I've promoted him more times than I've got fingers on my two hands. And I said, hey, can you give me 5 minutes this weekend or the next weekend? We've literally got a men's ministry event right up the street from you. His response? Don't have time. We're busy. Now that we're open and we're not promoting anything outside of the church. And I'm thinking, wow, that's kind of sobering in and of itself. I'm not surprised. We're open now, so we're busy. There have been churches in California that have been open for over a year. Rob McCoy being one of the pastors at Godspeak. So Dennis Prager had him on his fireside chat about a week ago, and he asked Rob, when did he first open?
When did you open up your church?
Wide open was May 31st, where we did no social distancing, no masks, but defying the
government. That's May 31st, remember, of last year.
Yeah, of last year.
I just
year.
Want to make that clear.
Thank you. But defying the governor was April 4th of 2020, because that was our Holy Week. And it was Palm Sunday, where we take communion. And and they said the church was non-essential and you can't celebrate communion, even if we followed CDC standards, which we did, but we defied that.
Wait, in other words, you mean that people sitting in their cars?
No. So our sanctuary holds 400 seats. We had 10 chairs. And it took 3.5 hours to do communion. And we would clean it up after everyone leave. Each of the elements were separated. We just followed CDC standards, but they said you still can't practice communion. Costco, everything else is open. Abortion clinics, cannabis distributors, liquor stores. But a church can't practice a sacrament. And all those other organizations aren't covered by the First Amendment. We are. And it was our sacrament. And it was our Holy Week. So we did communion because if the governor wants to say that the church is non-essential, Christianity says that the church is the bride of Christ, and I've been married to Michelle for 31 years. You come to me and tell me my wife's non-essential, you'll be picking up your teeth with your broken arm. That pastors should defend the sanctity of the church and defend its validity, and it is essential, and it's critical in community.
Pastor Rob McCoy, Godspeak in Thousand Oaks, Newberry Park, along with Dennis Prager. By the way, my comment about the pastor, the anonymous pastor, I'm not taking a shot at pastors that haven't necessarily opened until recently or are in the process of maybe opening now. I'm just stating the truth of things, and you can decide for yourself. But what about those pastors, the overwhelming majority in our state, that for whatever reasons would not defy the orders of the state? What about the other pastors?
Do you have a thought on why so few did what you did?
The reason why other pastors didn't open up, and love hopes all things, pastors by nature try to avoid conflict and they're peacemakers. But they don't understand that peace isn't the absence of conflict. It's the presence of God in the midst of the conflict. Because you're going to have competing ideologies and there will be conflict. But you're to stand your ground and you're going to have a personal peace in the midst of that battle. They think peace is the absence of conflict, so they avoid it at all costs. And if the governor says, you're not essential, you can't open, they don't want to cause waves. But they need to understand they are the ones who put forward to society what liberty is. Liberty is not man's idea, it's God's idea. The entirety of the scriptures, both the Jewish scriptures and the Christian scriptures, which also include the Jewish scriptures, 66 books of the Bible, cover to cover, it's all about freedom. Setting the captives free in Exodus. In our what we call the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 3, I think 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. The Apostle Paul says, stand fast therefore in the liberty for which Christ has set you free. He wrote that in prison.
We're going to continue with more in a moment. More audio, Rob McCoy and Dennis Prager. You may have some thoughts. No, you're welcome to call. 888-528-2557. Our board is wide open to you. We'd love to hear from you. Whatever your feedback is, you're more than welcome to call the program. So the interview went into the area of, well, wait a minute, Pastor. You opened your church early on in the pandemic. What about loving your neighbor? You've even called the program and stated the same thing, your disdain or your opposition back then of any pastors opening their church. We need to protect our neighbor. We need to love our neighbor. What about the idea of loving your neighbor?
When I was brought up for contempt charges, the judge at the time said to my counselor, my attorney, instruct your client on the second great commandment. And what he's referring to is where Jesus says, love the Lord your, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbors yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. And the judge was referring to, you're not loving your neighbor because you are exposing them to this virus.
Right, right. That's what they say.
And so I answered the judge and I said, judge, I do love my neighbor and it's coming at a great cost of $3,000 a fine per service by the government to defend defend the abused that are being quarantined with their abusers, to defend the elderly that die alone, to defend the children whose schools have been shuttered, to defend the business owners. It's estimated 60% of the restaurants in our county will never reopen. There's no voice for them. For a virus that has over a 99% survival rate, depending on the county you're in, and they're going to give you grief on that and probably take you off the air, But the bottom line is, this does not merit the tyranny and the draconian measures, and it's coming at a cost to us. And then I tell churches that say, we love our community, that's why we haven't opened, and we're not political. I go, you're political, you just choose to think you're not. Because by yielding to tyranny, you may have your homeless shelters open, and you may have your food banks open, and your counseling, but you don't have your church service. And you're yielding to tyranny, which has caused California to have the highest homelessness, the highest poverty, the highest debt. I mean, we can go down the list of the miseries in California. And I said, you've helped create the problem, and then you fish downstream to fish out the human heartache you helped create by bowing to tyranny. Your job is to defend the freedom of man. God came to set the captives free. That's our responsibility.
By the way, you can find the entire exchange online, Prager University. Also, I believe on YouTube, it's Prager U, episode 188 with Dennis Prager and Rob McCoy. We have open phones, 888-528-2557. If you have any feedback or have any thoughts, would love to hear from you. Before we continue and get into the, well, what about Romans 13? We've had this conversation many times on this radio program. If you're new, don't know where I stand. I don't believe Romans 13 means, well, we're just supposed to do everything the state tells us to do. Every single thing. I've been very critical and outspoken about churches not being opened. I've also said I'm not a pastor, so I'm not in those shoes, but how it is over the last number of months, churches haven't been open for the most part. I think Rob hit it on the head, that I think pastors, in large part, don't want to rock the boat, make waves, right? Do you get, there's a theme here forming. And it's not that, oh, Frank's critical of the Western Church, so he is doing one and the same. Couldn't be further from the truth. But as a follower of Christ, over the last now, what, 14 months? Remember early on when, well, thank goodness we can watch online. Did you go to church today? Yes, I watched online today. Early on. And after a few months, it's like, okay, now what? And then we started to seeing the virus turn into a political agenda, let alone where we are now. But what about Romans 13? What about the idea that people like Pastor McCoy, oh my goodness, to somehow challenge the state, that's against who we are as Christians and what the Bible says.
There was a minister, he died in 1766, and John Adams said this minister was responsible for launching the revolution. All of the clergy on the Eastern seaboard at that time looked at Romans 13, which says God appoints all positions of authority, we're to submit to them because he appoints them and we're to submit to them. But it also goes on to say, and they're appointed for our good. Jonathan Mayhew said, if they're not doing good, they're no longer the authority.
Right.
And that's where they get the idea in the Declaration of Independence, not for light and transient causes. But when you're saying that the church is non-essential, you got a problem. And Jonathan Mayhew, when he wrote that and did that exegetical study of Romans 13 that inspired the revolution, he said, disobedience to tyrants is obedience to God. And that was the moniker that carried the revolution.
Was it from him?
From him.
Oh, what a great, right.
And now, that was back when they were dealing with King George and they were dealing with violations. And now we have a constitutional republic and these folks govern by our consent. And one of the reasons why I stepped down from the city council is because I knew I'd be violating the governor's order. I knew that the council would hold me. They mm-hmm. would censure me, mm-hmm. and I knew that they'd be violating their oath of office, because when I took that oath of office, I swore to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. All elected officials All elected officials govern by our consent. The sovereign in America is the first three words of the preamble of the Constitution. We the people. So Romans 13 says God appoints all positions of authority. The authority in America now in a constitutional republic is we the people. Elected officials govern by our consent, and they're constrained by the seven articles of the U.S. Constitution, and they must honor the 27 amendments. When they fail to do that, it is our right and our duty in our birth certificate to push back and say no.
Voice of Pastor Rob McCoy, interviewed by Dennis Prager. You can get the complete interview online. It's Prager University, episode number 188. One more final audio clip and then a short snippet. And I need to just share with you, we have open lines, 888-528-2557. We've had many a conversation on this program over the last year about faith, about religious freedom, about COVID, about government overreach. There are even studies right now that say at least 50% of people that say they're Christian and went to church before COVID are very resistant and in no hurry to get back to church. Maybe that's you. Maybe we can have a conversation. I'd like to understand why it is and maybe expose some of the fear for what it is. And I pray these audio clips convict you. My reason for sharing it is nothing more than to honor Pastor McCoy. He's not the only one, but to understand if ever there's a time to have an open church and preach the gospel, it would be through this quote-unquote pandemic. And yet a lot of churches were not open, still some aren't. And there are some of us that don't quite understand what's going on here, or at least the idea that just maybe some of the very foundation of our faith is being undermined. And we think, oh, I'm going to be a good little Christian, submit Romans 13. I'm not going to say a peep. Whatever my government says to do, I don't want to sin, so I'm going to stay home, wear my mask, get the vaccine, which isn't even a vaccine, get the shot. And yet I just sit and I think God's not missing any of this. Again, with the disclaimer, all pastors are different, all churches are different. Where's your faith now? What has this last year done to you? I've got more emails of people saying, I've lost my faith. I don't think I believe in God anymore. I've also gotten tons of emails from people saying, I need a church. My church is not open. Can you point me to a church? It's like the two extremes. What do you think about what you've heard so far? Phones are a little quiet. I'm not sure I want to go there. This has all been so confusing. 888-528-2557. This last large audio clip is very convicting. Let me set it up for you. If you think church in and of itself is the answer, and the lack thereof in our state was part of the problem, that is correct to a certain extent. And what Rob McCoy lays out here is something that I think any follower of Christ really needs to listen to and pay attention to when it comes to this idea of somehow the church is the only and absolute answer.
I'll give you an example of the group of churches I belong to. It's called Calvary Chapel. And they started in 1968 in California with Chuck Smith. He pulled away from the Foursquare Church. And he looked out at a sea of humanity of all the hippies that had checked into Eastern religions and started, drug use. And they were burned out. And 68 was an interesting year. Reagan was governor in California. I think we had the fourth or fifth largest GDP. We had just completed the California Aqueduct, a marvel in engineering, produced more cotton than the entire South combined. This was the state of the future. But in 68, Bobby Kennedy was shot. 68, Reverend King was shot. You had the My Lai Massacre, the Tet Offensive. The following year, you'd have the Kent State shooting. And a few short years earlier, JFK was shot. So all these young people who had promised hope and change, all their heroes were dead. And they were burned out on politics. And you're watching communism and socialism infused in the country, and it's being torn apart. And Chuck looks out at all these burned out people, and he deliberately avoids politics because they're burned out. But he goes back to a simplistic teaching of the scriptures, and that's what Calvary Chapels are known for. Verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, teaching everything, the whole counsel of God, cover to cover. And he experiences 10,000% growth. There's now 1,800 Calvary Chapels around the world. South of Van Nuys, there's more Calvary Chapels than Dunkin' Donuts. And it started here. 10,000% growth, and that's conversion growth, not transfer growth. These are all people first time coming to a faith of any sort. Harvest Crusades with Greg Laurie. 52 years into this, how's California benefited from this massively growing church? Well, we no longer have the fourth largest GDP. We have the fifth or the sixth. We have the highest gas tax, sales tax, income tax, corporate tax. We lead the nation in debt. You combine the next four largest states' debt doesn't equal the debt of California. We lead the nation in homelessness and in poverty. And we lead the nation in abortion, transgender bathroom bills, no-fault divorce. It's awful. And I look at churches and I go, where's the power of the gospel? You've abdicated Matthew 16, 18, when Jesus says, upon this rock I'll build my, and everyone says church, when he's talking to Peter. The word isn't church. That didn't come till hundreds of years later. And it was Tyndale who was hung and burned at the stake for translating it properly. He said assembly, because in the Greek, the word is ecclesia or ekklesia. And Jesus co-opted a secular term. He didn't say synagogue, he didn't say temple. He used a secular term that had been in Greek culture for hundreds of years. And it was literally the city council in Greece where the citizens would gather, they would fast, they would offer fire or some sort of sacrifice, they'd spend time in prayer. And above the door before the citizens would gather for the welfare of the city and the laws that they would establish, the two words, isonomy and eleutheria, liberty and justice or liberty and equality. And he says to him, upon this rock, I will build my ecclesia and the gates of hell. Gates enslave people. The gates of hell will not prevail. I've come to set the captives free. And when you start to see, when people start to see that there is the ability to have freedom, like America, 244 years, unprecedented. In the 6,000 years of recorded history, everything's been an oligarchy. We have more patents, more Nobel Peace Prize winners, more symphonies. You go on an elevator, an American invented it. And if that building's air conditioned, an American invented it. And if you fly to a country where that skyscraper is, that plane was built by an American, invented by an American. Freedom is having choices, Thomas Jefferson said. But liberty is doing what's right. Until you do what's right, you'll never have choices. But those choices can enslave you. And so I'll leave you with this last thought. If your child comes home from school, and this is the difference between morality and character or liberty and freedom. Your child comes home from school and says, Mommy, Daddy, all the kids in the school called Susie fat, but I didn't. You would say to that child, that's a very moral thing to do. But where's your character? The child would say, what do you mean? Why didn't you tell the other children to stop it? Character is doing what's right. Morality is not doing what's wrong. All that's necessary for evil to prosper is for good people to do nothing. Character it coincides with liberty. Do what's right. Then people have freedom.
Pastor Rob McCoy with Dennis Prager. Speaking of standing for liberty, the idea of who are we? And what are we to do? And how are we to live for future generations? There's a very short 20 seconds of Pastor Rob McCoy.
We've had 244 years of unprecedented freedom. Why am I going to deny my children and my grandchildren? Our cowardice is selfish. Mm-hmm. Because a nation grows great whose citizens plant trees of the shade they'll never know. It's not about you and me. It's about the ones behind us.
So when we continue, we'll unpack a little of what we've heard. There's a story out of Canada that, well, rings of a little deja vu here as it applies to undermining faith there and what the church did or didn't do to push back against overreach. Any of your thoughts, and I'm not going to do a lot of commentary here. The phones are wide open. Basically, every phone is available to you. I guess this isn't interesting to you, or maybe you have this all figured out. Maybe you disagree and you choose not to call for whatever reasons. Now, I posted this video on my Facebook page, and I'm convinced I'm being shadow banned right now. Very few people mention it all. Maybe I'm not. Maybe it's me. I think this is as thought-provoking as anything I've heard in recent times. This is kind of a wake-up call to you and to the church. Are we so asleep we don't realize it? Are we so afraid that we can't take a step forward? I don't know. I'm just asking you if you have any thoughts at all, and maybe by your disregard or your unwillingness to engage, maybe that's a statement in and of itself. Phone numbers to the program, 888-528-2557. 888-52-TALKS. And we'll continue with more of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. If you missed our impact segment, I played a number of audio clips from an interview that Dennis Prager did with Pastor Rob McCoy about over the last year plus and how Godspeak responded to the pandemic and what our governor told us we could and couldn't do. Church was called non-essential, and Pastor Rob was having none of it, opened his church in April of last year. It's been open ever since. So we ask you if you have any thoughts about what you heard. And everybody on hold, save one, has a direct comment about what they heard. That's fine. You have comments about some other items, maybe related to it. But when I hear Rob McCoy sit down and just talk about this idea that if ever there's a time we are to share the gospel during something like a pandemic, supposed pandemic, and what we've seen over the last 14 months, a lot of the narrative has changed on and off. It just makes me ponder and wonder, do we not see that just the possibility, I'm not saying this is the absolute, that the very foundations of our faith may be being undermined or crumbling because so many of us just went belly up and said, whatever the state says, we do. Romans 13. Rob McCoy got a lot of grief, not only from people that hate Christians, but people that were upset that he opened his church. And that's a head scratcher for me. Nobody was forced to go. If you wanted to go and you want to wear a mask, okay. But where have we been? Are we like bears hibernating? We're just kind of waking up and rubbing our eyes like, okay, that was a good long sleep. Let's go back to church now. Where have we been? I can't help but think, at least to a certain extent, those of you that respond to me mostly offline in an email, a lot of you have said things like, well, I don't like your positions. They're not Christian-like. When I say things like, simple things like mask wearing, there's no scientific evidence that say masks do anything, let alone wear masks outside or in your car. And don't get me going on the shots. We're living at a time, though, good news, right? For those of you that went, well, we'll do Romans 13, whatever the governor says. Now we live in a state where California is launching a $116 million giveaway. You want to get vaccinated? Hey, you'll be in the lottery. $15 million in cash prizes for 10 winners. $50,000 for winners. Already vaccinated? You're already entered. If you're not vaccinated, the next $2 million. You can also get a $50 gift card. Why are they pushing? Why are they forcing? Do we have any intelligence whatsoever? Now, is it just because they've failed to properly state the importance of doing this? Maybe, in part. But I think it's much more than that. 9 people have made $20 billion because they had goodies on the vaccines. Am I just making this up? No. I can give you attribution. What about Facebook shutting down? Any idea? Called vaccine hesitancy. A whistleblower comes out, gets fired. You know that story? Guy's name is Morgan Kamen. Early on, we've talked about this. White Coat Doctor Summit, D.C., shut down. Doctors saying they've treated patients successfully with therapeutics that are cheap, silenced. Medical practitioners that say, I've taken hydroxychloroquine as a prophylaxis. I'm on the front line. I've not been sick. Deleted. Just get the shot. Be a patriot. And let alone this idea, if you have had COVID and have recovered, endless amounts of information that says you have antibodies in your system now. Why would you take another shot if you've got it in your system already? These are amazing times, needless to say. 888-528-2557. Teresa is in Carlsbad. You're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to respond to you because I listen to you and I appreciate what you're doing because you're one of the few people that I do listen to because you're on the right track. And as far as Dennis Prager and Rob McCoy, Jack Hibbs, Eric Metaxas, and a number of others that I could mention, you had posed a question about going back to church. Well, I have been fed by you and these people that I mentioned and a number of others to the point where I realized since my church was closed initially that they are not talking about any of these things, not pushing back. And I think that this is the time that we all need to stand up and stand up and push back against these people that are all the government overreach and all the lies and all the just the things that we've been fed over the past year that were, you know, outrageous and the things that are happening. If we don't stand up and if our pastors don't stand up, I haven't gone back because I want to be in a church where there's a leader, a strong, brave leader like Rob McCoy or Jack Hibbs or Pastor Lau and Pasadena, these people that are not afraid to speak out for what's right.
Well, let me respond to that. Teresa, I thank you for the call. And I obviously have to be a little careful here. I am in the process through my ministry. I think it's July the 8th. I'm doing a 6-week online course on Christian leadership. So when you talk about some pastors not necessarily stepping up, don't get me going on leadership. I see, well, concerns in a lot of areas of life as it applies to this topic. But I get it. And my good friend who has a church in San Dimas, Jeff Vines, once said, whose kingdom are we building? My kingdom or God's kingdom? There's a lot of complexities to this issue. But in terms of church being closed and this ongoing, we need to love our neighbors. I'm not so sure I've ever been in that mindset, because I think loving your neighbors means you open your church, you love your community, because of all of the aspects that we don't hear about. Deaths of despair, suicide, drug addiction, alcohol abuse, domestic violence, pornography addiction, you name it, it's all escalated over the last year. And can part of it be because we have not met in fellowship? I think that's at least part of the answer. 888-528-2557. More of your calls and more of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. If you missed our impact segment, I played excerpts from a video you can find online. It's called The Church That Refused to Kneel. It's Prager University, episode 188, Dennis Prager and Pastor Rob McCoy. And we got pretty deep in the woods talking about things like, why don't pastors respond in a confrontational manner? What about loving your neighbor in Romans 13? If we have so many churches in California, why is our state in such a mess? And other things like liberty and who are we as followers of Christ? Either go to our podcast section and download the first hour, or go online. It's an interview that I think is worth 58 minutes of your busy time. Mike is in Thousand Oaks. Mike, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank. First of all, let me say that I'm a chaplain in a jail, and I hadn't stopped going inside since the pandemic. Felt it was necessary and wanted to do that. When we talk about Pastor McCoy, I went to his church a couple of times, and although I think he's a stand-up pastor and I agree with him and keeping the church open, I don't know if your listeners know that he used to be on the Thousand Oaks City Council, and he stepped down voluntarily because of his stance with keeping the church open. But when we come to politics, I believe politics plays an important part, but not in the pulpit, and that's what I disagreed with.
So not in the pulpit, so we just leave the government to all the non-believers, and then whatever havoc is wreaked, then we just somehow navigate through in a faithful kind of way. How can you say, with respect, and I'd love your response, how can you say that we, first of all, there is politics in the church already? And if you say you're not for politics in the pulpit, is it no wonder we have 60 million abortions if pastors aren't speaking out against it? I mean, what's your view on abortion? Is that something we shouldn't even be concerned about?
So let me clarify by saying that when I say politics in the pulpit, I'm saying on Sunday, I think that he needs to preach the gospel, teach the gospel, talk about Jesus Christ. If he wants to talk about politics, or any pastor wants to talk about politics, I'm not saying that they should not talk about that. But let's do that on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever days that are open. But Sunday should be a time of just teaching the gospel. That's what I'm saying.
So Jesus didn't push back or teach against the establishment at all. Jesus didn't get involved in the political ramifications of back then at all, is what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that on that particular Sunday morning, I'm saying that the gospel needs to be preached.
But I'm challenging your very view of what the gospel is. The gospel is about engaging culture. Politics is part of it. Go ahead.
Sorry.
That's okay.
That's where I think the conversation needs to be one-on-ones outside. This is what we get instruction.
No.
Can I finish?
No, because let me just say this. Both can be concurrent in the pulpit. To sit and say, and I'll say this, and then I'll be quiet for 2 minutes and give you the entire 2 minutes. I had people emailing me the week before the election, said pastor that it will go unnamed, stood in the pulpit and said, we don't talk politics in the church. Good people will vote for Joe Biden. Good people will vote for Donald Trump. I'm not here to say yay or nay. And now here we are 4 months into an administration that is as anti-God as can be. That's in part on the churches that didn't open their mouth from a biblical position and speak out against culture and such things. You can do both. You can preach the gospel and also talk about culture and how we need to be biblically engaged in the culture. I'll be quiet now. Thank you for your patience.
No, I appreciate that, and I appreciate your view. I just say that on Sundays we're getting a ramification. We're getting different people coming from all walks of life coming to the church for the first time, maybe seasoned people there. What I'm saying is that to me, to preach the gospel and to teach it and to go through that is essential on Sunday. But Sunday afternoon, after the service is done, throughout the week, instruct your people to how to engage in the culture. We're not mindless and just going in there and not talking about that. But I don't hope you see my point is that, you know, on Sunday mornings is a sacred time for us just to know who Jesus Christ is, know what he did for us, salvation, the whole gamut is right there. And then we have the rest of the week through the church to talk about the politics, to talk about engaging the community, and to talk about how to be a light in a dark world that is killing babies and saving whales.
I appreciate it. I share your sentiments in some ways. I thank you for the call. I just don't think it's an either or. Do we not preach Jesus turned the money changers over? I mean, what part of the gospel do we leave out? Jesus challenged a lot of the religious elite. Jesus was confrontational. Now, obviously, if you and I sat down for an hour and I say, Mike, tell me exactly what you believe is the gospel. You may or may not be accurate from a biblical perspective. There are a lot of people that think the gospel is just, oh, preach Jesus, love, forgiveness, take care of the oppressed and the poor, and that's the gospel. Don't get into the other stuff. That's not what the Bible says. Mike, thank you. Larry in Laguna Woods, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. You've got a couple of minutes. I'm not sure if your cell phone is a great connection, but let's give it a go.
Okay. All right. I just want to say this, if I can. I'm from Oklahoma. I'm going back. Brought 17 screenplays with me. Wrote two of the best since I've been here. But what I'm wanting to say is Joyce Meyer said a long time ago that we are in the pregnancy day. So this virus is to test the 300 people, 400 people at the water to see who is really true and not. Yes, we all need to go back to church. I pray every day for at least 3-4 hours. I listen to you guys for at least 4 or 5 hours. But we just have to hang in there and know that this is, like Joyce Meyer said, a pregnancy stage. It will come out for his better or our better. But I know that doesn't make any sense, but I'm just saying, you know, yes, take precautions and just believe in God. And he's going to do this.
Larry, I thank you for the call. Don't ever doubt yourself. You said what you said and you go, I don't know if this makes sense. Don't doubt yourself. It may or may not make sense. You may make perfect sense and people think you're crazy. Do not doubt yourself and don't doubt God. I appreciate your call. I'm glad from what I understood. Sound like your writing is going well out here. Keep after it. I want to say this in the 40 seconds I have. I am absolutely emphatic, and I just am here to state the obvious. I have a men's ministry. We are not a church men's ministry. When I look to the church and leadership and I see pastors preaching the gospel, I say, okay, good. But how does the gospel apply to the times we are in now? That's something I don't hear. We hear Jesus hung on the cross, salvation, come to Christ, all good. But engaging modern times, that's part of politically what it means to be politically literate. To be biblically literate is to be politically literate. This is the Frank Sontag Show.